You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. This is Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. The news today is that the House Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing on police accountability. This is the first major hearing of the United States Congress, really, in 4 months. Philanice Floyd, the brother of George Floyd, will be providing testimony, and Angela Underwood Jacobs, the sister of federal police officer David Underwood, who was killed in the riots, will also be giving testimony. I'm going to break down the analysis, the arguments, the legislative proposals that come out of this hearing in tomorrow's episode, but I want everyone to get a real clear sense of what happened, what the key arguments were, and then we'll break them down tomorrow. Here's the opening statement from leading Republican Jim Jordan.
The people of this great country, you know what else they understand? You know what else they get? They understand that there is a big difference between peaceful protest and rioting. There is a big difference between peaceful protest and looting. There is a big difference between peaceful protest and violence and attacking innocent people. And there is certainly a big difference between peaceful protest and killing police officers. You know what else they get? You know what else the American people fully understand? They know, as the chairman said, the vast, vast majority of law enforcement officers are responsible, hardworking, heroic first responders. They're the officers who protect the Capitol, who protect us every single day. They're the officers who rushed into the Twin Towers on 9/11. They're the officers in every one of our neighborhoods, in every one of our communities. Every day, every night, every shift they work, who put their lives on the line to keep our communities safe. And guess what Americans also get? Guess what else they understand? They know it is pure insanity to defund the police. And the fact that my Democrat colleagues won't speak out against this crazy policy is just that frightening. Think about what we've heard in the last few weeks. Heard the mayors of our two largest cities, Mayor Garcetti, said he wants to defund the police. The mayor of New York says he wants to defund the police. The city council in Minneapolis, a veto-proof majority, says they want to defund the police and abolish the department. This Congress started off with the Democrats, folks on the left, saying we should abolish ICE, then moved to we should abolish the entire Department of Homeland Security, and now they're talking about abolishing the police. This is wrong, and the American people know it's wrong. We should honor the memory of George Floyd and work hard so that nothing like it ever happens again. And we should honor the memory of Dave Patrick Underwood and work hard so that nothing like that ever happens again. A week and a half ago, our mission was clearly stated. 11 days ago in Florida, the President of the United States clearly stated what our mission should be. President Trump said this: "I stand before you as a friend and ally to every American seeking justice and peace, and I stand before you in firm opposition to anyone exploiting tragedy to loot, rob, attack, and menace. Healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos, are the mission at hand." Well said, Mr. President. Healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos. That is our mission. The president is right, and I appreciate his leadership. This is the House Judiciary Committee, with its storied history of defending the Constitution and the rule of law. Let's adopt that mission: healing, not hatred, justice, not chaos. Let's work together to make America the great place, to continue to make America the greatest nation ever.
The Republican lead on the Crime and Criminal Justice Subcommittee is my colleague Mike Johnson of Louisiana. Here's a little bit about what he had to say.
Everyone here understands the plain and simple truth that racism in any form violates the most fundamental principles of our great nation and the rules of our Creator. The central idea of America, let's not forget, is the idea that we boldly declare the self-evident truth that all men are created equal and that they're thus endowed by God with the same inalienable rights. Because each of us is made in the image of God, there are very serious implications that come from that. Among them is the idea that every single person has inestimable dignity and value. And our value is not related in any way to the color of our skin or what zip code we live in or what we can contribute to society or anything else. Our value is inherent because it comes to us by our Creator. Any fool who contends he has some sort of natural right of supremacy over his neighbor violates not only the foundational creed of America, but the greatest commandments of the God who made him. And if we can ever learn to see one another as God does, I think it'll solve a lot of our problems. This unspeakable act of cruelty that America witnessed in Minneapolis has opened an important new dialogue on reform. And while policing has always been regarded as an inherently local function, we do agree that Congress has a key role to play in ensuring that abuses are not tolerated and can never happen again. Justice has to be swift, and bad police officers have to be held accountable for their actions. But at the same time, we want to be careful to recognize, as all my colleagues have this morning, that officers like the ones involved in the death of George Floyd are not representative of the vast majority of America's law enforcement officers. Most are faithful, self-sacrificing public servants who put their lives on the line every single day to protect and serve our communities. We need to honor that, and we need to recognize and empower those law enforcement officers, which is precisely the opposite of the radical, dangerous proposals we're seeing right now to defund them.
I was selected by Ranking Member Jordan to be the first Republican to ask questions of the witnesses. And this was my exchange with the witness panel.
Mr. Chairman, if we could get the witnesses who are joining remotely to be on the screen so we could see them, I have a question I would like to ask everyone. And I apologize for the crude nature in which I have to ask this, but there's just so many witnesses. If you believe that we should defund the police, will you please raise your hand? And is there anyone on the... Okay. So that's unifying and wonderful that here we are gathered. I'm sure someone will be able to ask you that question, but I've limited time here. I didn't see anyone raise their hand to defund the police. I certainly didn't see any of the Republican witnesses do that. And so I'm going to now go through and see where that sentiment may have been reflected. Here's a tweet from two of our congressional colleagues supporting this group, Black Visions Minnesota. And then next, please. And then here's that group, that same group, Black Visions Minnesota, that my congressional colleagues are raising money for, saying that we should end the police. And can we go to the next one? And then here's that same organization retweeting Rebel Scum, abolish the police. And then here's the same group saying that instead of police, we need therapists, doctors, and street medics, not cops. Mr. Bongino, in your experience, every time someone calls 911, would a therapist or a medic be sufficient, or sometimes do people need cops?
I'm quite unclear how a medic is going to help with an armed subject who's assaulting his wife in a domestic violence situation or elsewhere. I'm not sure how that's going to be of any value.
And here again is that same group saying that we need lasers to disorient surveillance cameras, and we need water balloons filled with milk to throw at people. Again, this is the organization that my congressional colleagues are raising money to support. If we could go to the next one. And then here again, that same organization that multiple members of Congress are supporting, saying it's not enough to only abolish police or prisons. We need to abolish race, abolish ICE, abolish the military, abolish the state, abolish the borders. And again, this is what our colleagues are raising money for, and it's not just any member of Congress, it's actually one of our treasured colleagues on the Judiciary Committee, the gentlelady from Washington, raising money for this very same organization. Ms. Underwood-Jacobs, your brother is someone who was part of this law enforcement community when he gave his life. When you learn that my colleagues in Congress are raising money for an organization that promotes defunding the police, destroying our borders, defunding our military, and taking apart the state altogether, how does that make you feel?
Actually, I find that conduct to be deplorable. And we elect officials to represent everyone. And the idea to have our communities without protection and safety is wrong. So my response to that would be for people to get out and vote and get the right person in office to ensure that we feel protected and our children feel protected for generations to come.
I appreciate that greatly. Mr. Floyd, again, I appreciate your calls, not only today, but in the direct aftermath of your brother's killing. You showed grace and care for your fellow Americans. And I don't know if everyone is religious, but I do believe God is working through you to try to call us together. And finally, I wanted to thank Ms. Bass for the legislation she's introduced and that constellation of ideas. While I think that we can fine-tune elements to ensure that we don't defund the police, that we don't make our communities less safe, I do think there is not a legitimate defense of chokeholds or lynching or bad cops that get shuttled around, and you will be able to count on Republican cooperation as we hone these ideas and hopefully pass them and get them to the president's desk. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
Philanese Floyd, the brother of George Floyd, was here to give testimony. Here's a sample of his testimony before the committee.
Mr. Floyd, I don't know that the cameras picked it up or saw it, but when Angela talked about her brother dying, I saw a physical reaction from you. I saw you lean over in your chair. I thought I noticed your body even tremble with empathy and care for Angela and her brother, Pat, who passed away. If you could say anything to the people who killed Pat, what would it be?
Life is precious. Everybody should be able to live and be able to walk this earth in a journey that they want to. Nobody should have to be filled with hatred and so much animosity that they want to kill somebody. Dr. King said a long time ago, he wanted everybody around the world to be able to join hands together. And I think right now, if he was here right now, he would understand that the world is united right now. And we all are coming together.
Angela Underwood Jacobs lost her brother, who was part of the federal protection force for one of our federal buildings. He died in the riots. Here was her testimony before the House Judiciary Committee today.
I have to say that I'm heartbroken. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my brother either before he was killed. I am also heartbroken for all of the other people that are in this country living every single day and feel unsafe just to drive to the store. I also have had the talk with my son. We sit here today at somewhat opposite ends of the spectrum to a certain degree, but yet there is so much commonality amongst both of us. And the heartbreak and the grief is inexplainable because it's very, very hard to articulate when your entire world has been turned upside down. I do want to know, though, when I think about all of this, is that my brother wore a uniform, and he wore that uniform proudly. I'm wondering, where is the outrage for a fallen officer that also happens to be African American? So as I'm sitting here and I'm listening to all of you and us, I truly hope that you take your positions, your offices so seriously that you want to go back and really work together and collaborate. Because if you can't get it right, there's no hope for the rest of us. So when you go back and you convene and you talk through everything that's going on, I hope that we're just not people on paper, but the fact that you can be able to see our faces and feel our pain and feel it enough that you want to make change for all the citizens of the United States of America.
There are police in this country who have grown very frustrated with the image that they're somehow negative forces within our communities. We saw the head of the New York Police Union, Mike O'Mara, react very strongly and very forcefully to that image that I think a lot in the media are trying to paint right now. Here was Mr. O'Mara's very strong statement to the press about the value that police add and their reaction to this civil unrest in our country.
Stop treating us like animals and thugs, and start treating us with some respect. That's what we're here today to say. We've been left out of the conversation. We've been vilified. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Trying to make us embarrassed of our profession. 375 million interactions. Overwhelmingly positive. Nobody talks about all the police officers that were killed in the last week in the United States of America, and there were a number of them. We don't condone Minneapolis. We roundly reject what he did as disgusting. It's disgusting. It's not what we do. It's not what police officers do. Our legislators abandoned us. The press is vilifying us. Well, you know what, guys? I'm proud to be a cop, and I'm going to continue to be proud to be a cop until the day I retire. And that's all I have to say.
Hearing Romero's comments, you see the passion that animates the public service of our police officers. But in the data, we also see how valuable they are. Some new news coming out of the city of Los Angeles that just in the first week in June, they've seen a 250% increase in the homicide rate, according to Fox News. And all of this while Mayor Eric Garcetti is saying now we need to defund the police. And so I'm troubled by this. I'm troubled by the fact that the defund the police mantra is getting more and more mainstream in Democrat politics. And it's not just a talking point. There is a real impact in terms of engagement proactively from the police, and also how our citizens are impacted from a safety standpoint. And with the homicide rate rising in Los Angeles, certainly not a glowing endorsement of the Garcetti approach to demonizing those who keep us safe. I've covered on the podcast how the Department of Justice has labeled Antifa a terrorist organization, and with good reason. They organize violent protests. There was great reporting by Project Veritas about how they actually go and try to teach people how to gouge eyes out, because eyes are, you know, a soft space of vulnerability for people that may be in a crowd. But despite this designation as a terrorist group, our own NPR, funded by taxpayers, does this interview with Antifa member Lacey McAuley, where they try to kind of cast them as these misunderstood, peaceful political refugees, which is total nonsense. Take a listen to just the absurdity of this interview.
McAuley, who is white, is wearing a tight black shirt and a face covering, but most people are now because of the pandemic. She says people misunderstand what Antifa is.
Anti-fascism is more like a set of practices and a philosophy than it is an organization. No, actually, we don't have any kind of like big giant hierarchy. It comes from your heart. It comes from your sense of justice.
But the truth about Antifa has been exposed. And I think some of the best reporting on this was done by Tucker Carlson tonight. Tucker had Gabriel Nadalis on the show. Gabriel is now working with the Nonprofit Leadership Institute, but he was a former Antifa member. And listen to Gabriel describe the ambitions and goals of Antifa and their tendency to use violence to achieve those goals.
Well, I was in Antifa when I was just 16, so like almost 10 years ago. And I'm telling you this, back then it was just a group that went out and go protest against what people we thought were anti-fascist. However, Antifa is far more violent today than it ever was. There's multiple professors. To really understand Antifa, we have to go into the college campuses. Throughout the country, right, we have a lot of different professors who are advocating for violence. We have Mark Bray from Dartmouth University, who wrote Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook, where he praises and he advocates for political violence. And then most recently at the Leadership Institute Campus Reform, we had a professor from Colorado State University who said that she was done talking to people on her opposition, that she was ready to punch them in the neck. And unfortunately, we are seeing a resurgence of political violence by the left.
Thanks for listening. This has been Congressman Matt Gaetz. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review and a comment or a suggestion or even a criticism. I love your hot takes, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow for mine.